It is true to say that Genesis chapter 3 is one of the most important chapters in the entire Bible. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or considered what the important chapters in the Bible are. And while all Scripture is given by inspiration, yet it is true to say that Genesis chapter 3 is one of the most important chapters in the entire Word of God. I say that because this chapter teaches us much about the fundamental truths of the Word of God and of the Gospel. For example, it teaches us much about sin. It teaches us something about the origin of sin, or how sin came into the world. Teaches us what sin is. The Lord said to Adam and Eve, not to touch the tree. You're not to eat of the tree. And when Adam and Eve put forth their hand and they took the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and ate it, they sinned. And that's what sin is. It's disobedience to the Word of God. So this chapter tells us how sin came into the world. It tells us what sin is, and it teaches us in no uncertain terms that there are consequences for sin. We didn't read to the end of the chapter, but you read from verse 16, and the Lord pronounces the consequences of sin for the woman. In sorrow she would bring forth children. For Adam, he would earn his living by the sweat of his brow. For the earth, it will bring forth thorns and thistles. The earth would be cursed. God judges sin. Sin has consequences. The chapter teaches us something. In fact, it teaches us much about the devil. It teaches us about the reality of the devil. Man has an archenemy, the enemy of his soul. And in Genesis chapter 3, the devil, the fallen angel, he came to Eve in the form of a serpent. Teaches us the aims of the devil. His aim is to ruin mankind, to have him live in disobedience to God, to bring him down in a state of sin and destroy his soul and mar his relationship with God. That's the aim of the devil. This chapter teaches us something about the tactics of the devil. He questions God's word. He denies God's word. And he went about that way to deceive Eve and question the Word of God and deny it. And deny that God would be true to his Word. That's how the devil operates. He denies the Word. He tempts man. His aim is to ruin the souls of men. But of course we read of the devil's doom. The devil is defeated and will be defeated. For the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And the devil was defeated at Calvary. Praise God, the devil is and shall be fully and completely defeated when the Lord returns. This chapter teaches us much about the Lord as well. It teaches us his sovereignty over his creation. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord came looking for them. He called them. And they came before him. He is sovereign over mankind. It teaches us his justice. That he will deal with sin in a just way. He doesn't just overlook sin. It teaches us something about his mercy. He was compassionate and merciful to Adam and Eve. He didn't usher them straight into hell. But always spoke to them and he taught them something about the gospel and how their sins could be forgiven and they could be reconciled to God. This chapter teaches us much about the gospel. How the Lord, through the seed of the woman, would send a deliverer and a savior. It's the seed plot of the Bible. This chapter has the major doctrines of the gospel enshrined within it. It's also a chapter of firsts. It is the first temptation and sin. It is the first gospel promise. It is the first sacrifice in there, and it has the first question. And in this chapter, there's a question there. The very first question that is asked, and you'll see it in verse 9. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" You know, there are many great questions in the Bible. There are questions that men ask other men. The Philippian jailer asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" That's a great question. There are questions that men ask to God. We think of the question of Paul when he said, "What will thou have me to do?" That's a great question. But the first question did not come from man to man. It didn't come from man to God. The first question in the Bible came from God to man. "Where art thou?" And after Adam and his wife sinned, the Lord asked them that question. And it's the first question God would ask men and women. And what a question it is. If I could just paraphrase it in modern language, the Lord is asking, "Where are you? Are you in a state of grace? Or in a state of sin? Are you saved or are you lost? Are you on the narrow way that leads to heaven, or are you on the broad road that leads to hell? Are you in the sheepfold or are you in the fields of sin?" That's God's question. And he's asking it here to Adam and Eve, "Where art thou?" And in this most important chapter, one of the most important chapters in the entire Bible, here is a most important question that God would put to every heart, young or old. God's asking you tonight, "Where are you?" That question, I believe, suggests a number of things about the gospel. There are three. And I want to put them to you tonight. This question teaches us that God seeks man in his sin. God seeks man in his sin. You see, when the Lord came down into Eden, and I want you to look at verse 8. Because there's something here that a lot of people, when reading the Bible, they miss. It tells us Adam is speaking the Lord. It says, "And they heard the voice," speaking of Adam and Eve, "they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden." Do you notice that? The Lord is walking in the garden. And it's the voice or the Word of God who's walking in the garden. Who is the Word of God? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was manifested in the flesh." The Word, or the voice of the Lord, is Jesus Christ. And I believe that this was what theologians call a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was walking. He was actually in the garden. He's coming in the cool of the day. There the Lord Jesus, he's walking in the garden, and when he called out, verse 9, "Where art thou?" The Lord wasn't asking that question because he didn't know where Adam and Eve were. "Thou, God, seest me," Hagar said. Peter said, "Thou knowest all things." There's nothing the Lord doesn't know. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you're up to. He knows everything about you. There's nothing you can hide from him. He knows whether you put the suit on a Sunday, but during the week you're living like the devil. He knows if you're putting on a sham and a show, or he knows whether you're very genuinely saved.
He knows all about you.
And he wasn't asking this question because he didn't know where Adam and Eve were. No, one of the reasons why he asked this question, "Where art thou?" was to teach Adam and Eve that truth that the Lord Jesus expressed in Luke 19 and 10 when he said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Christ was seeking Adam and Eve out in their sinful, their lost, and their undone condition. You see, when Adam sinned, and I want you to look at these verses again, you'll see that he ran away from God and he hid from God. You look at verse 7. They knew that they were naked and they made themselves aprons. He tried to cover up his sin. And then in verse 8 it tells us Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. He ran away from God in his sin. He hid from God in his sin. And he tried to cover up before God his sin. And I put it to you tonight that had the Lord not stepped out of heaven and into Eden, then Adam and Eve never would have the Lord. They would not have confessed their sin before him. They would not have sought forgiveness or reconciliation for disobeying the word of God. No, it was the Lord who took the initiative. When Adam ran away from God, the Lord stepped out of heaven and he came and he called him, showing him that God was seeking him out in a state of sin. And I put it to you, human nature hasn't changed. The Bible tells us in Psalm 10 verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Man in his sin will run away from God. Man in his sin will hide from God. Jesus said to the Pharisees in his day, John 5 and verse 40, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." They resisted the Lord. They refused to come to him. And that's the picture of the unconverted, unregenerate heart running away from God. The natural man, like Adam, hides from God, separated from God, ensnared by sin. He wanders away from God. But here's the good news of the gospel. The man with his rebellious heart, the Lord came from heaven, and the Lord Jesus is in the world today by his Spirit. And through the ministry of his word, he's seeking men and women out. He seeks them out to save them. Praise his name. And through his word, he would call out, "Where art thou?" You know, that's one reason why the Lord Jesus, in the days of his flesh, told the story and the parable of the lost sheep. He told of the man who had 100 sheep, and he would count them night by night into the sheepfold. And one night he counted, there were only the 99. One was lost. And the sheep is a picture of the sinner. You know, man likes to think he's advanced. Man likes to think he's intelligent. Man likes to think that he's educated. And all the time God likens him just to the sheep. Why is that? Because the sheep can never find his way home. We talk about the dumb sheep because the sheep just wanders off and it has no concept of where it is or how it would ever get back to the place it started from. And the sinner is likened unto the lost sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And man in a state of sin just turns to his own way, neglects the Lord, and will never find his way to the Lord, to salvation or safety. And all the time he's a prey to the enemy. to the devil, the one that's likened unto the lion, seeking to devour the sheep. But all the shepherd, as he counted the sheep in and he realized the one was lost, what did he do? He went out onto the mountain wild and bare in the cold night hours, and he sought that lost sheep until he found it, and he put it on his shoulders, and he brought it home rejoicing. And that's what the Lord Jesus did through his life and his ministry and his work on the cross to provide a way for salvation. And now tonight, by the preaching of the word, and by the work of the Holy Spirit who applies the word to your heart, he calls you. He calls you from the fields of sin, from the trees and the bushes of sin, where Adam was and where you are in your sinful state. He says, where art thou? He's seeking you out. Is there someone tonight? And you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's asking you to recognize that you're separated from him. You're far from God. You're in a state of sin and rebellion against him. But the Savior, by his word to your soul, he's calling you to himself. Where art thou? This question was asked, I wonder, can you hear the Lord tonight? And he's seeking you out in your state of sin and saying, come unto me and be saved. Where art thou? God seeks the sinner. God seeks man in his state of sin. But then I want you to look at this question again. When the Lord asked, where art thou? God was not only seeking man in his state of sin, but God was summoning man for his sin. Where art thou, Adam? When Adam came forth from the trees at the call of God, at the Lord's voice and his call, the Lord began to question Adam. And you will see that that was a fearful thing. Look at verse 10. Adam confesses. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. God calling Adam, and Adam in a state of sin, being summoned to appear before God, it struck fear into his heart. And Adam had to come and appear before the Lord. He could not resist this call or this summons. You will see that when the Lord summons Adam, he began to quiz him and question him. Look at verse 11. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The Lord's making, as it were, an inquisition. He's quizzing Adam. He's questioning him. He's examining Adam. We could use another word tonight and say, God is judging Adam. And Adam has to answer. And of course, Adam blamed Eve. Man never changes. He wants to blame someone else for his sin. We hear that today. When men commit awful acts of sin, or even minor acts, and they're caught on. The thief, well, they fell on hard times, and it was so-and-so's fault, so I had to help myself. The man that commits some other crime, he wants to blame his circumstances or something else. Man likes to blame someone else. And Adam blamed Eve. And then God began to question Eve. And he said, in verse 13, and the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? If you see, he's examining, he's judging, he's quizzing them both. There's none of them going to escape. And he says, hey, what have you done? And of course, she blames the devil. The point I want you to grasp is this. The reason the Lord called Adam and Eve to account, it was to teach mankind, right at the very beginning, that man is accountable to the Lord as his judge. And man will give account of himself to the Lord as his judge. He is your maker. He is your creator. And men and women, my Bible tells me that one day God will call again with his voice. And all men will appear before him to give account of their lives. Let me read to you, if you have the Bible open before you, you can turn to John chapter 5. Oh, the Lord by his voice came into Eden. He called Adam and Eve. He summons them. And when you get the summons to appear in court, you have to go. You have to appear. The Lord was summoning Adam and Eve. They had to appear before him. My Bible tells me in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, there's a day coming when the voice of the Lord will summons all men. Marvel not at this. You're not to marvel. Men do marvel. And they question the word of God and the Lord speaking here about the resurrection. And there are those who question the resurrection. How could God raise the dead? How could God raise the countless billions of people that have been in this world and have died and their bodies are no more? The Lord says, listen, don't you marvel. He said to the Sadducees one day, ye do err, not knowing the power of God, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. My friend, if we could only grasp the omnipotent power of God, we wouldn't marvel at anything the Bible says he could do. The Lord says, marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in which it's all inclusive. All mankind, it includes you, when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Do you see that? He's going to call someday. He'll descend with the sound of the trumpet. And he'll descend with the shout. And he will call men from their graves by the sound of his voice, and they shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Here is a summons from the Lord. The Bible tells us the resurrection will be at the coming of the Lord the second time, when he shall descend from heaven with a shout. And the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And all the ungodly will rise after that. The point is, there's a summons coming from God, and when the dead shall arise, the Bible tells us that they will rise to judgment. They will stand before the Lord. And as the judge, he will quiz them. He will judge them. And he will examine them for life. And the sinner will be examined for their sin. And let me tell you, my Bible tells me that just as Adam feared and tried to avoid that judgment, men and women will fear, and they will try to escape and get away from that judgment. It's a fearful thing to stand before God in your sin. You have your Bible open in John 5. Just turn over to Revelation chapter 6. Because there we read of men on that judgment day, just like Adam. Try to run away and hide from the examination and summons to judgment. This passage, verses 15 to 17, present us with the second coming. It tells us that the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves. Do you see it? They're trying to hide themselves, not in the trees as Adam did,
but in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The Lord has taken his throne. And when he returns, the Bible tells us in Matthew 25 that then he shall sit on the throne of his glory. Revelation 20 tells us that that great white throne, all the nations shall be gathered, and the ungodly and the unconverted shall be gathered. And this scene depicts how the sinner will try and hide and try and escape and get away from that judgment. And they'll call on the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and obliterate them, rather than face the judgment of the Lord. Because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And the point I want to stress to everyone tonight is this: that just as the Lord summons Adam and Eve with that question, where art thou? He summons them to appear before him and account for their sin. There is coming a day when men and women from every tribe and tongue and nation will be summoned before the judgment throne of God. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, if you're not in the sheepfold of Christ, if your sins have never been forgiven, if you haven't been born again and made right with God, what a fearful and a terrible thing that will be. Because on that day he will pass sentence and say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. He will cast away the souls of the ungodly into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and forever. God came looking for Adam and Eve in the garden. And there's a day coming, he'll come and look for you. And I'm asking you, how will you do in that day? This question, where art thou? It teaches us that God seeks man in his sin. It teaches us that God summons man for his sin. But you turn back to Genesis chapter 3, and I believe this question teaches us that God saves man from his sin. Praise the Lord. When the Lord called Adam and Eve to account, they came before him. He taught them there was consequences for their sin. He cursed the old devil, and he told the devil that he would be defeated. And then he spoke words to Adam and Eve, and he taught them there was consequences for sin. But in the Lord's conversation, he showed Adam and Eve the gospel, and he provided a covering for the consequences of their sin. He did so, he taught them the gospel in two ways. First of all, by a prophecy. You'll see it in Genesis 3 and 15. He's speaking to the devil here. He tells the devil in verse 14, upon thy belly shalt thou go. Some believe that the serpent, before the devil entered in and tempted Adam and Eve, that the serpent would have had legs of some description. And once the Lord cursed the serpent, it was then that it just went on its belly on the ground. And he's speaking to the devil and the serpent. It should be cursed above all the cattle. And then in verse 15 he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between the devil and the woman, between thy seed, the devil's seed, and her seed. It, the woman's seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And in that prophecy, the Lord was teaching that there would come forth from the woman a deliverer. Spurgeon called him a champion of the human race. And the woman's seed would crush the serpent's head and defeat him and destroy him, who is the woman's seed. There's only one woman in the Bible that had seed, for the seed in the Bible has always spoke about the man.
the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, the seed of Isaac and Jacob, the seed of the woman is the virgin born Savior. He's the God-man, Lord Jesus Christ. And He came into this world and on the cross. I tell you, He dealt with the devil. He shed His blood and He wrought victory over Satan, over sin, over death, over the grave and over hell itself. And He provided a way of deliverance from the devil and from sin. And I say to you tonight, there's deliverance from the devil. He has you ensnared in the chains of sin. You can't give it up yourself. You want to be in heaven, but you can't give up the sins that bind you and hold you. The Lord Jesus is able to set you free. For He's the mighty conqueror and deliverer. And He's provided a way whereby He has bruised the head of Satan, not the cross, to save the lost. But you know, the Lord taught Adam and Eve the gospel not only by this prophecy, but He taught them it by a picture. Just look, we didn't read the verse 21, but look at this verse as we close. Tells us, unto Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Adam had sewed the fig leaves together and he covered his nakedness. And he thought that covered his sin, but you know, man's best efforts don't work. And many tonight are trying to do what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They're trying to cover their sin by the works of their own hands. They're trying to cover their sin by their church attendance or their charitable deeds, hoping that that will merit them favor with God. But it's only fig leaves and it can never work. What did the Lord do? He took the animal. Probably a lamb. And He slew that lamb and He put it to death. And He took the skins. And He made them coats of skins, garments, clothing to cover their nakedness, the consequence of their sin. And it's a picture of the gospel. In Isaiah 61 verse 10, we're told that the Lord gives the garment of salvation. And He clothes us in the robe of His righteousness. How does He do it? Well, as the Lamb of God, He shed His blood. He died upon the cross. So that whosoever believeth in Him, their sins would be covered. They would receive the garment of salvation for their souls. And they would be made right with God. And they would have their sins covered, never to be remembered against them again. That's the gospel, my friend. And the Lord pictured it there in Eden for Adam and Eve. That was the way of salvation. That the Lamb of God would come into this world, shed His blood in sacrifice and die, that whosoever believeth in Him would be clothed with the garment of salvation and be saved for time and for eternity. Where art thou? The Lord seeks man in his sin. Is He seeking you out tonight? Where art thou? God will summons you one day to account for your life. Where art thou? God is willing to save you. As He saved Adam and Eve and as He showed them the way of salvation. Through faith in the blood of the Lamb.